From the New York Times bestselling author of Odd Girl Out, Rachel Simmons' new book, Enough As She Is, gives adults the tools to help girls in high school and college reject supergirl pressure, overcome a toxic stress culture, and become resilient adults with healthy, happy, and fulfilling lives. For many girls today, the drive to achieve is fueled by brutal self-criticism and acute fear of failure. Though young women have never been more successful, outpacing boys in the GPAs and college enrollment, they have also never struggled more. On the surface, girls may seem exceptional, but in reality, they are anxious and overwhelmed, feeling that no matter how hard they try, they will never be smart enough, successful enough, pretty enough, thin enough, popular enough, or sexy enough. Rachel Simmons has been researching young women for 2 decades, and her research plainly shows that girl competence does not equal girl confidence, nor does it equal happiness, resilience, or self-worth. The new book, Enough As She Is, sounds an alarm to parents and educators arguing that young women can do more than survive adolescence, that they can actually thrive. Again, the name of the new book is Enough As She Is, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Rachel Simmons to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
I'm happy to be here.
Tell us what brought you to the subject.
Well, I've been working on a college campus in New England for several years and have been working with young women for 2 decades. And I began to notice that a lot of my students and the girls that I met in my travels around the country were high achieving and had great GPAs and test scores, but were suffering from enormous anxiety. They reported very high levels of stress, depression. And then as I looked into the research, I saw that these symptoms in girls were happening or being reported at twice the rate of boys. And so I decided to investigate and really started shifting my teaching towards helping girls sort of manage their own drive for success without compromising their wellness.
You talk about this in the introduction of the book, and you refer to your change of heart from your past work on The Curse of a Good Girl. What changed in your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, I had a bit of a mea culpa here. I think that for many years, I just thought that if girls could speak up and, you know, take up space and ask for what they needed, kind of be confident, that that was what they needed in terms of achieving their goals and being successful. And what I've since learned is that we need to give girls the tools to manage the challenging moments as much as we need to give them the tools to succeed. And so you really can't have true success if you don't know how to handle it when you fall down. And I think that's really what shifted. And I also kind of have come to see that the culture itself is to blame. I mean, it's not just on girls to fix themselves. I think the culture itself is putting girls in through a lot of real challenges.
Talk a little bit about the culture and what it's doing.
Well, I mean, I think that we've given girls incredible opportunities. And, of course, girl power and you know, the benefits of feminism and policy changes, all of these are great news for girls. The problem is we haven't loosened the restrictions that we used to put on girls. So, in other words, we said, if you want to go be an engineer, go do that. But we didn't say, now you don't have to worry about that bikini body anymore. Now you don't have to worry about, you know, being the popular girl who's liked by everyone. So what we've done is essentially lumped on the new expectations onto the old ones. And that's creating what psychologists call role overload. It's just too many roles for one person to play. And I think it's one of the reasons why adolescent girls get the least sleep of any group of youth.
When you started this project, you talked to a lot of girls. And what were those interviews like? What did you find out from that experience of talking to them about what was on their mind, what they were looking to achieve, and what the challenges were in achieving what they wanted?
Well, I've always, you know, listened to the voices of girls. They've always guided my work. And the thing that struck me in the interviews that I did was how many girls believed that no matter how successful they were, that they were not enough. Like, they just constantly felt like, I need to be smarter, I need to be prettier, I need to get more likes on my Instagram. It was as if they could never appreciate who they were or what they had in the moment, because it was always about checking off the box and going on to the next goal. And I think that that is, not only is it good for you emotionally, because it leads to burnout and it leads to a lot of unhappiness, but it also makes you a lot less resilient. I mean, it's very hard to be tough when you can't kind of pause and be grateful for what you have, and that, and when you always feel like there's something more that you need to complete you.
And I want to get to this idea of the impossible standards of success, and that all of us feel, right? But a special challenges to girls. And what is it about that, back to an earlier question of what is it about our culture that does, yes, make that difficult for everybody, but girls are at a special disadvantage?
I think a lot of it has to do with the way that we raise girls. I mean, we have a lot of research that shows that girls get certain kinds of messages from adults about the expectation that girls pay attention to other people's feelings and take care of people. And what that has resulted in is girls often thinking, I've got to worry about what other people think over what I want to do. They become much more sensitive to other people's opinions and to what's going on in their relationships. And so if you take that and you add to it all of these expectations that girls are now experiencing around, you know, be the first and blow open the doors and break the glass ceiling, it's kind of a challenging recipe, right? You're being kind of told to please other people and do everything right, and you're being told to do everything. And so I think that's part of why girls are experiencing somewhat more of a burden in this area.
You write about this in the book, Role Overload, Role Conflict, when the obligations of the roles you play are at odds with one another. A lot of stress comes along with this, doesn't it?
Oh, my God. I mean, if you ever talk to an adolescent girl or boy about what their daily schedule is, I mean, it's pretty exhausting. I often joke with my students that I don't think I ever worked as hard as I did after my sophomore and junior years of high school. And that was over 20 years ago. That being said, I think that, again, these girls are trying to be everything. I mean, they want to be good at school and they want to be often great athletes. They want to have conventionally thin bodies and they want to be popular on social media. And, you know, not only does that take time, but to do it well, it's also quite tiring. And so I think that's why these kids are really overwhelmed by all of these expectations.
You write quite a bit about the role of social media and how it affects girls, both negatively. Is there a positive effect?
Oh, for sure. In fact, I always say to parents, it's really useless to act like social media is sort of posing the end of civilization, because, I mean, not only is that here to stay, but your kid's not going to want to talk to you if you walk around acting like it's the end of the world. So, I mean, I think we have only to look at the mobilization of teenagers in this country following the Parkland shootings to see how social media can be a very powerful force, you know, not just for bringing teenagers together, but for helping them find a sense of purpose. And purpose, researchers tell us, is a critical part of adolescent wellness. That basically just means doing something meaningful with your life that connects you to something bigger than you, that's not just about, oh, I want to make a lot of money or get good grades. And so social media has been a kind of indisputable vehicle for that lately, and I think it's important for parents to pay attention to that.
You write about body image in the book and that issue. What can parents do to help in this and strive toward the positive image?
Yeah, I mean, it's so hard, especially because I think, I know that social media has increasingly become a place where girls are confronting challenges to their body confidence. I mean, it used to be that if I wanted to look at pictures of a celebrity's body, I had to go to the grocery store and buy a magazine. And now a girl can open her phone and see pictures of her peers, you know, in their kind of bathing suit shots, which research is telling us now is creating a lot of body shame. So it's really critical for parents to talk with their daughters about the images they're seeing on social media and always remind them, no matter how many eye rolls you get in response, that these are, you know, often filtered and painfully kind of shot. By painfully shot, I mean often posed over 50 times to get that right picture images. And also to remind your daughter that her body is there to serve her goals, not the goals of the culture. So whatever she eats or how she looks really needs to be linked to how does she feel about it? How does it help her fulfill her responsibilities and her dreams in any given day or week, and not about how it looks to other people?
You are the leadership development specialist at Smith College and the Girls Research Scholar in Residence at the Hewitt School in New York. What is it like to have those roles and to be on the scene, if you will, sort of watching all of this as it's going on in real time?
It's great and it's humbling. I mean, one of the benefits of my work at Hewitt and at Smith is that I'm given the opportunity to listen to young women and to have just to hear them muse about their day. I mean, this was one of the reasons why I learned about what's called Stress Olympics. And Stress Olympics is a kind of informal communication ritual that a lot of young people engage in where they competitively suffer. So I might say, you know, oh my God, I have, you know, 3 tests tomorrow and I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. And instead of you responding and saying, oh, Rachel, I hope you're okay, you're going to say, oh my God, well, I have 4 tests tomorrow and I have a cross country meet. And that's called Stress Olympics. And I can only do that when I have the time to really hang out with young people. But it's also can be really humbling. I mean, I also screw up royally in front of them. And luckily, when you have like some capital with them, you can screw up and spend some of your capital on just really missing the mark. But that's what's great about teaching. It's kind of like cooking. I mean, sometimes you have to fail in order to figure stuff out.
You'll be at Northampton High School on Wednesday night, April 4th at 6:30, and this is a benefit.
It's a benefit for the Northampton Educational Foundation. I strongly encourage parents to bring daughters, 7th grade and older. I'd love to see people there.
Rachel Simmons will be at Northampton High School on Wednesday, April 4th at 6:30 p.m., northamptonschools.org. Rachel, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Enough As She Is, How to Help Girls Move Beyond Impossible Standards of Success to Live Healthy, Happy, and Fulfilling Lives. Rachel Simmons is the author. The book is published by Harper. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.